Welcome to The Feeding Frenzy. We're your go-to podcast for all things breastfeeding and beyond. Whether you're nursing, pumping, bottle feeding, or just trying to survive nap time, you are in the right place. We dish up expert advice, real-life stories, and a healthy dose of humor to support you through the wild, wonderful world of feeding and parenting. So grab your favorite snack or finally reheat that coffee and let's dive in. Welcome, everybody, to the first episode of 2026. Ah, how did this happen?
Season four.
Yes. And I'm Colette Acker. I'm here with Louisa Brandenburger, who still didn't change her name, and Jen Sheevy. And we are all BRC employees. And we talk about flange fitting. We've talked about flange fitting within other episodes, but we never dedicated an episode to it. And since it's so important, we're talking about pumping and flange sizes today. And I know you usually hear me and Louisa, but I brought Jen in because she just did a fabulous talk at a conference we hosted. The name of it was Sizing Up Success or Is It Down? It was such a clever title, Jen.
You made a great pick for me.
Oh, it was my idea.
That's why it was so good.
So we hear a lot, and we heard a lot in the past. We've all been doing this for quite some time, that pumps don't work for me. It's not getting out the milk. The baby's able to get a full feed, but I can only pump out an ounce. You know, people have tried to do exclusive pumping, were never able to keep up their supply. So there was always pumping concerns throughout the years, and we did the best we could to help people. But some new research came out about different sizes of flanges, and that's the part that goes up to your breast. And we had different sizes. We had a 21, a 24, a 28.
27. Well, that was with Medela, right? For a long time, it was just Medela, right?
Right. 27 and 30.
28, 30, 36.
Yeah. Right. We always went up.
Yeah, 36. It went from 30 to 36.
Yeah. So, and I'll admit, I've never went for the 21s and never grabbed those.
Cause I remember back in the day, I would order flanges. And I always joke, like, say we ordered 100 flanges. Just you know, this is anecdotally, but like 95 of them were 27s and 5 of them were 21s. We always had 21s because we never thought, really, very rarely did people ever need a 21.
Right. We were never going down. So this new research
in the closet right now, the 27s and the 30s and the 36s.
Yeah. And everyone came, the pumps came with a 24. And so typically people would be moving up from there. So this new research came out and now we're all in and it's getting a little crazy. So we have a various amount of sizes. Various shapes and silicone versus plastic. So the feel of it too. And so you guys take it away. What, you know, and the thing that scares me, I haven't been doing clinical work for a few years. And so this all came about now, and now I feel ill-equipped to handle this. So anytime we even say, well, maybe Colette can step in and do consults, I go, I hope I know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so what are you seeing or how, once we first heard about this, what did we do? I don't even remember.
I thought that was crazy, right, Jen? We're like, no one needs a 13.
No way. There's no way. I think I remember the very first time I had somebody who came in and she said that she was using a 14 millimeter flange. And I looked at her nipple and I'm like, there's no way. And lo and behold, she put it on and it fit great and milk was flowing. I'm like, is it better to start going smaller? Is that going to be what is the like deciding factor on pumping comfort and efficiency?
And that was the funny part, is that it did, it felt good. You thought you're going to squeeze what we probably, I mean, I used to joke, I'm like, I could just look at your nipple and know what size you were. And now I'm like, well, I can't, I'm getting better at it now. But before it was always 24s, 27s, whatever. But these moms aren't, these people aren't having pain while they're pumping. And you're like, how is that even possible? Don't you remember that first time, Jen, when you went from when we started measuring and hearing the stories of like going to the smaller size and milk started flowing? Like, I remember that concept where I'm like, I think we came out and said, Jen, that mom just put on a 15 and milk was flowing. 16 milk wasn't flowing. All of a sudden, you know. Like it was that magical, like it was amazing to see milk flow with these little flanges. Crazy. Right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of moms now as well, a lot of parents as well now are actually scared to go smaller. Like they'll try the different sizes. They'll use their measuring tools that they get and they're like, oh yeah, I measured out a 17 and they'll put the 17 on and it isn't quite fitting right, whatever it might be. And they go up and up because they're like, okay, I tried the smaller one and it hurt. If I go any smaller, it's
gonna hurt more.
Gonna hurt. But
that was what was mind boggling to me was that when she said, the person who did the research, what's her name, Louisa?
Jeanette, hold on, it's right here because I always forget. I remember her first name is Jeanette, and I apologize to her. Jeanette, oh my goodness.
And her company is Babies in Common.
Yeah, yeah. Jeanette Frem, Frem, Babies in Common.
Yeah, when she first said that if the 15 hurts, don't be afraid to go to the 14, that amazed me. Mm-hmm. So it really opened our eyes of needing to try various sizes. And so we bought them all. And when people come in for pump flange fittings, what we call them, you know, it's nice to be able to try a variety because to buy all of them, so you try yourself, you know, that's $150 right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and I remember when we first started, I think, Jen, we might have got maybe like 13, maybe a 12. And now I think we've as small as an 8 or a 9.
As of right now, we have the 10.
The 10. I thought we had smaller. They probably do make it. We don't really see the, I have to say, I've seen like one or two people who need it smaller than the 10. Yeah. I have to say.
Yeah. I don't think we currently have them in stock, but it is available. Yeah.
And they've just, and over time, they not only have, you know, these sizes, like Colette was saying, they have these different shapes. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, these like bigger flanges, the pano flanges with this pink, like silicone on the outside, the crater flange and all these different things. And like they originally came out and they're like, this is good for this and this is good for that. But like any more, I think when that pano flange came out, it was originally like for people with like convex breasts. Is that the word? Convex, yeah. But I've found women with very large breasts, it actually fits them really well.
Great.
So and that's what's nice about having all these different things. And like like you had said before, Jen, people are like, well, I measured at a 17. And some of those measuring tools are like, hey, go a millimeter larger. And sometimes you measure someone and they measure a 16, but the 16 doesn't work.
Right.
And so you're like, it doesn't matter if it says 16. What feels good and where are we seeing milk is the key.
Right.
I've also too, with measuring, remember how they talked about measuring the tip of the nipple versus the base of the nipple?
Yes.
That definitely, and it also comes into play in a matter of what type of nipple is it? Is it an evert nipple? Is it a short nipple? Is it a flat nipple? I definitely tend to see on women whose nipples are more evert that the tip of the nipple does tend to be smaller. And mm-hmm. the fact that like the pump pulls it, those are the ones that I find they do end up going smaller just because like the stretch and the pull, the nipple at the base ends up definitely representing what the tip of the nipple is like. So like if you do go back and measure it at the base and like say the tip of the nipple is a 14 and you go back and the base of the nipple is like a 17, it's small. And I mean, it's too large and it's uncomfortable and milk isn't flowing. So those are the parents that we end up seeing that going down the smaller size, they get the comfort and they get the milk flow.
Because they're putting their whole nipple in that sizing thing. And so they're sizing the base instead of the tip.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and you know, many people don't know this because they haven't seen as many nipples as we have in our career. No. And that was a big shocker to me when I first became a lactation consultant. And so I think about this one woman who her nipples were sort of mushroom shaped. So I think about her, like, what the heck would she need? But I don't know.
But when you have 30 different flanges to try,
you'll find one.
I think that's the key. And that's what I think, you know, when you're seeing a lactation consultant who has this wide variety of sizes, shapes, it really makes a difference because it can make a difference on where, because you got to try it. That's the key, I think. And I think Jen agrees, like, we can look and say X, Y, and Z should fit, but when you put it on and it doesn't feel good and there's no milk coming, it doesn't matter. You just try another one. And that's what's really nice about being able to have access to all the different sizes and shapes. And we've been really lucky to be able to get most sizes and most shapes of flanges with even our home visit people, because it is a fairly large kit, I guess you could say.
It's this huge mesh bag.
We're filled with different flanges of just different sizes and shapes and things that can be, it can be a game changer, especially if you have somebody who needs to pump frequently, maybe to build supply in those early days, or their baby's in the NICU. And that's, you know, but in a whole nother thing, it's like in the hospital, they don't have access to these. And so I know sometimes parents will be referred to us for just a pump flange fitting and their baby's in the NICU. The hospital, I think the 18 is the smallest they have because most hospitals are using the Medela Symphony. And that's the smallest Medela makes, I believe. So 18 is way better than a 24. So, but on those early weeks, especially your baby in the NICU, you have to have the right size flange or you're just setting yourself up to not be able to produce all the milk that you need. And then you can throw that out there. Then there are parents who can put on a 24 and get all the milk. And we're like, how does that happen? Yeah. That we don't know either.
Yeah, that we've been using those for years. And for many people, it worked out fine. Yeah. But it's so interesting because, that's a scenario. The stimulation within the first 2 weeks, if your baby's in the NICU and you're not getting any, you know, skin-to-skin contact or feeding at the breast, that's crucial for milk production in the future. That could be, I'll write a proposal to the hospitals to have consultants come in and size people in the NICUs.
I was just reading that Jeanette had an email yesterday, and she said I'm thrilled to share that there is a randomized control trial of flange fitting for NICU pumping parents that's starting this month at a major university medical center NICU in the US, and a smaller study starting in a hospital in Australia, and a large NICU study starting in Taiwan. So they are definitely looking into that. I think for the hospitals, I mean, you would know best, I think, just how are they washing these parts? How are they trialing? Like, we're lucky enough that we have the ability to clean them and wash them in between clients, or our home visit clients or consultants are washing and sterilizing. I mean, in the hospital, just adding that one more thing. Right. Like for the nurse or the lactation consultant, like, how are they cleaning these things?
Yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest.
Yeah. So what we do, just to clarify, is we have a pump. We give them the different flange sizes. We find the one that works, but the mom cannot keep that milk that she's expressed. These are just trials. And then we sanitize all the equipment so we can use it on another person.
And we just give them a way to where to purchase these correct flanges.
But the interesting thing about this, I remember one of our board members, she's still a board member today, and I think it's got to be 8 or 10 years ago. She has a full-time job. She also is a spinning instructor. So really early in the morning at like 5, 6 a.m.
She's like the 5 a.m. class.
Yeah. 5 a.m., teaches class, comes home, gets the kids ready, heads off to work, drops kids off at daycare, heads to work. And she just wasn't able to express enough milk with any pump that we gave her. We did not have this knowledge back then. And I'm sure that if we got her the right shield today. But she ended up writing a proposal. This was pre-pandemic. She wrote a proposal to her company about working from home, working virtually, and the reasons why, and why breastfeeding is important and all of this stuff. And I think it was a little bit of a battle. She finally won that and worked remotely before working remotely was a thing. So, and it was all because she never could express. She'd managed to get an ounce out, and the only thing she used was a hand pump, and to leave that with her husband when she was spinning. But
I had a client, and I'll never forget her. I saw her, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months. She was exclusively pumping. Her baby had like milk allergies. Like she could do nothing but feed this baby breast milk. Baby didn't latch exclusively. She had to exclusively express, I should say. She came into the office. So she would work. So she's back to work. She would put her pump on for like 10 minutes and get out like ounce and a half, maybe in 10, 15 minutes, just so she could do some work. And then she would hand express the rest of the milk, like 2, 3, 4 ounces. And so she came in and this was pre-flange stuff. We put her on the Symphony. We put her on a regular, we put her on. And I remember like leaving the room and going to wash things and coming back, and she had hand express in 5 minutes, you know, another 3 ounces. And I was like, you just don't react to a pump. And you think, oh, this baby, she's like, I have no choice but to get this milk out for this baby, because I don't have anything else I can feed him. And I just thought, she did this for a year, and she was hand expressing 6 times a day.
Which hand expression is wonderful, but having to do it to maintain a full milk supply.
And you're at work. Like, a lot of people want to pop their pump on, finish up to work, maybe eat lunch, something. It's messier. It's just like a lot. And I was like, you're a rock star. And now I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah.
We didn't know. Lots of people I want to apologize.
It's a blanket apology to all those parents we saw in the past.
Yeah, so I think it's really confusing for parents. I think it's hard for lactation consultants and nurses in the hospital to size people, even to guesstimate, because, you know, there's a lot of edema. You see swollen ankles, you see swollen everything, and you see swollen areolas and nipples too. So what you're sized with in the hospital is going to change, and what you're sized at 2 weeks, 1 week, 2 weeks may change at 2 and 3 months too. So we're seeing that.
Yeah. Jeanette had mentioned in her thing yesterday, and Jen, you would know best because you're kind of in the trenches right now, talking about different flanges. Like the Crater, she said, Crater works well with many, especially for a softer breast, but it's less likely to work on engorged, swollen breasts. Same with the Conical and the Comfy. Like, they just don't work well when you're engorged. Have you tried that new flange, Jen?
I have not.
You just got it, but she talks about that one, and there was only a few sizes available.
What's the new one that you're talking about?
Yeah, the one. What's it called?
Saucer flange.
Saucer.
It's much flatter. Like,
yeah, she said that works really well on an engorged breast, is what she has found.
Because like Louisa was mentioning, in the matter of the like the Crater or the like classic flange, it has to do with the angle of it and like being able to get enough breast tissue in there, and the farther the distance that the breast has to fit in, especially if it's so engorged and hard, that nipple isn't getting anywhere.
Like going in and out, like that's where you get like that little bit of extra space, you know, up in the top of the flange.
nipple is barely even getting close to that channel portion of the flange itself. So it does. It makes it difficult during, like, the if a parent needs to pump in the beginning days when her breast is engorged. So, like, these saucer flanges, like, it's, I haven't had a chance to do a lot of, like, research on it yet. Like, I did with the other things in the 90-degree angle with the classic one versus the 105-degree angle with the panel one. Like, it's barely flat. So, like, it can sit. There's no need for the breast to conform to it in order for the nipple to get into the tunnel.
To the tunnel. Yeah. I guess if you're not seeing someone coming in with engorged breasts, you're not necessarily going to use that one.
Right.
As yeah. often.
Right. Yeah, and I wonder if you do some hand expression before pumping to soften just the area.
Yeah. Is what I used to do, like the reverse pressure softening and some hand expression just to see if that would help.
Breast gymnastics, all that, yeah.
Breast gymnastics. Why don't you describe that to people?
So cool. the look that we get from parents when we say that, they're like, you want us to do what with our breasts?
And what do you think of, Jen, every time you go to talk about it? I think about Maya Bowman and doing the hokey pokey with her breast when we were in a conference, and we all just laughed. But I'm like, you move your breast up and then you do it down and you go to the side and around and around. I'm like, and it's so true. You're literally just lifting your breast up and putting it down. Side to side and then round and around, and it's just like, but it's amazing if you can get someone to do it. And her video is great too. You literally just after a minute, you'll see milk start coming out. You'll sometimes see a letdown. You'll start seeing milk dripping on the other side. And I would just say it's like breaking up congestion. You know, it's kind of like reminds me of like just breaking up that. It's just tightness, and you start breaking it up and getting things moving, and milk starts to flow. And so many people are amazed at how well it works if we can get them to do it, because it is a little silly.
They're sometimes scared because, like, you know, when your breasts are engorged like that and we're telling you to move your breast, and they're like, but it hurts so bad. I can't even barely lift my arm up, whatever. And so the couple of families that I've worked with, I'm like, just trust me on this and let's do it. And like, I'm sitting there, I'm like demonstrating to them and having them do it. And they're like, this is oddly relieving. I'm like, you're getting things moving.
Yeah, it really does work. And you just, sometimes you have to talk them into it.
Yeah.
Just like talking them into trying a smaller plan. Sometimes you're like, oh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those techniques. And I love Maya Bowman's breast gymnastics because it's so simple.
Right.
Yeah.
And what an impact. And even these breast shields, it's so simple to size someone correctly. So that's something you should ask if you're making an appointment. You know, can you size me, and do you have multiple sizes of flanges that we can check to see which one works best? Because I don't think everybody has that.
Yeah. We also have some silicone flanges. For some people, they seem to work pretty well. Jeanette Frem has a few opinions on that too. Like, works really well for some people, not others. Because sometimes there's just, but that's anything, right?
Yeah.
We have the LACTEC. Some people swear by pump and pals. I personally have never, I find the pump and pals, I find them really hard to fit because they're kind of like a small, medium, large. And I feel like it takes in, it's kind of the opposite of what we're thinking for like a tighter, more snug fit. It kind of brings a lot of tissue in. But some people find they work. I'm not saying they don't. I in my experience, they, I've never been able to fit someone comfortably for them more than that. Not even just milk output, but comfort.
I remember we had them in the office, and we have outpatient office and hospital contracts, and nobody was using them in the outpatient office. So I brought them all to the hospital, and I found that they were good for C-section, you know, fresh C-sections who had to pump because their babies were in the NICU and they had to recline and you had to pump for them. Those were helpful to angle the milk in another direction, but I've never found that. And I think one of our lactation consultants really likes them and has had positive experiences.
Yeah,
with them.
I think it just depends on your experience with it. I mean, I'm not saying I've never had anyone use them. The Lactect, what I find about for some moms with the Lactect, it's always been like the silicone ones work well for people with elastic nipples. And some with elastic nipples, and you know, you could fit them in a 20 and you could fit them in a 15 and they get milk and they're both comfortable. And you're like, and their nipples are purple. And you're like, why? Like nothing works. Like we don't, purple nipples are no good. But these parents are getting milk with it. And you're like, I don't wear, because a lot of times it just comes down where you're most comfortable. You know, what's working best for you.
Yeah.
If also like the purple nipples, is it, do they have anything going on? And like, is there Raynaud's? Is there, how strong are they having the vacuum setting? Some people, they just pump. And is how long are they pumping for? They have purple nipples. The milk comes out. They're like, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Try something different. If you see any change, if it's fine, they're concerned about damage, but they always say that like their nipples change back to the regular color. They're not having any discomfort.
Yeah. If it doesn't hurt and they are turning purple and they're getting milk out, we might want to roll with that.
Right. Right.
Oh, you're muted.
A dog emergency. I found that's where sometimes the Lactect ones can be a little just more comfortable, and they just, because they're a little bit stretchy, they stretch a little bit. So they fit a little different, like variety of sizes, but still I just look and I go, oh, they're purple. It's fine. I don't go to the Lactect. Do you use the Lactect a lot, Jen? I mean, it was few and far between. There's a new company out, that has like a full line of it. Colette and I were talking about it earlier. Again, those flanges are not inexpensive.
The Lactech is the new company that has.
No, Indiana.
I just saw it too on that email that you were talking about.
Yeah. Idaho Jones, not Indiana. I was thinking Indiana Jones. Idaho Jones. It's $150 for like, you know, a 13 to a 30. I'm like, yeah, can you skip the 24, 27, and 30s, please?
You were talking about Lactect, but people don't understand what you're talking about.
So it's a silicone flange. So it's made out of silicone instead of the hard plastic. And it also has this little like notch on the bottom that's supposed to, is like, so like it's thinner, right? I don't have to explain. It's like a little notch. So it's a little bit thinner, like on the bottom of your nipple, maybe like the tongue, where the tongue would go. Mm-hmm. And so they're silicone. So they're, they have a little bit more stretch to them than like a hard plastic. And so some people have found they work really well. I know Spectre sells an insert, like a silicone insert, but I think they only sell it for their 24s. Which doesn't really help us.
Yeah. Like,
and then they talk about the silicone inserts for like the hands-free pumps.
Which is a whole other topic too.
Right, you know.
Of silicone, using the silicone inserts inside the the
wearables,
stand flanges. No, even just like it, you know, some people will prefer to purchase if they need to use or try out multiple different sizes as far as the silicone inserts go, instead of like purchasing the actual size flange, which is the better way to go. Can I just put the smaller size insert into the actual flange itself to see how that works, or do I need to buy the actual flange?
Yeah.
It works for people and it doesn't for others. Like, again, it's one of those things. I've had multiple families that I've tried and they're like, okay, you know, I'd rather just have this little piece instead of like the actual flange itself. Yes, it's more pieces to wash, but it's like better than purchase. What, they go back and forth.
And some people like it because they can take those in their, like say their Spectra pump, and then use it on their hands-free pump. So it kind of goes back and forth.
But you have to see how it feels and does it work as well. Some people feel that it, they can kind of feel like the way that the insert like moves. They're right. supposed to be universal.
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be, but it doesn't always seem.
You would
like
think a 17 millimeter here and a 17 millimeter here is the same, but I don't think it always is.
Just like it, you know, in clothing, you know, yeah. 14 in one brand is not a size 14 in another, right?
Yeah, and but I know the Amita pumps that there's one hospital in this area that uses Amita pumps, and
they're 25 millimeters.
So it has it has inserts, and I don't feel like I feel like the suction decreases when we use those, yeah. and you see a lot of pop back of the breast tissue.
Yeah,
it's just not
well. And the thing is, like the inserts are made to go into the 24 millimeter flanges. That 1 millimeter makes a difference. So, like if you put a silicone insert into a 25 millimeter flange, the suction isn't as good.
Right.
There's that. So, or even just like you were saying, like the. Remember, I mean, we don't see Amita pumps all that often, but the Amita is like, if you comes with that standard 25, if you need it a 22, they take a flange and they put it inside. And then like, so when you would buy them, it was just like inserts that went in. So then it's still like, there's like that little bit of space, like you're saying, I think can impact that,
yeah,
that vacuum, which is kind of important. And someone had just brought up the other day on one of our text chains about the PJ Comfort. Those are, which is a, I have never had any success getting a parent to use that pump comfortably, and people swear by it. And maybe it's me, user error, totally could be that. I've watched many videos, but all of their flanges, I believe, are silicone. And I think that's one of the things that people like about that pump is that it's silicone flanges. I just, if I could figure out how to...
It's both the silicone flange and the way that they explain it is that it's supposed to be like a one size fits all, the way in which that the pump work. I agree with you, Louisa. I'm not a fan of that pump.
Yeah. And the consultant we were talking to was like, it's wonderful. And I've had, I mean, they have contracts with some really big companies out there that their employees are getting these pumps. And so there are people getting them and using them. So again, it could just be me. And you, I don't know. I've never had the opportunity to get it to work. It just hurts.
Yeah.
So I don't, yeah. And I, like I said, I've done, maybe we need to contact them and be like, can you tell me how this pump works? Cause we can't figure it out. You know,
a little service learning.
Yeah. Cause we just couldn't, I mean, I could never figure out how to get it to work.
Yeah.
And you cannot put a silicone insert inside that silicone to make the flange smaller because of the function of the pump itself. It's like a pull and then a vibrate.
It's like moving, right? A little bit.
Like yeah. it sucks the breast tissue in, and then it does kind of like a vibration type of suck.
Yeah, I feel like it compresses a little bit.
Yeah, like it moves. Sorry. Someone wanted to say hello to during our
a beautiful our addition. yeah, so you need to have the right size, you need to have the right shape. And then some people like silicone, some people prefer plastic. So there's lots of different, it's not just, oh, stick my nipple in this sizer and I've got it down. So that's where really seeing a lactation consultant who has a variety of sizes and shapes and colors will benefit you to allow you to trial it, because truly that's the only way we can know is.
Yeah.
And we're hanging out between 13 and 18, I think. It seems to be like... that's the area. And again, the other thing to remember is that 1 millimeter can make a huge difference.
And I think another thing, and you mentioned it earlier, is I try, you know, when I'm with a client explaining on day 6, this is the flange you need. This is what it should look like. And so on week 4, if it doesn't look like this anymore, you probably need another flange fitting. Or someone who's just pumping just intermittently. Like we just, there's times at a first consult, they just want to know how to use their pump. So if they choose to use it, I said, you know, as you start approaching going back to work, I always say like, what did your body look like on day 6 after having this baby? And now you're 3 months. How different does your body look? Your nipples look different too, probably. And so reminding people that there is a good chance you need another flange fitting, and just knowing what it should look like, that when you are pumping, it should just really be your nipple inside the tunnel, not breast tissue. A whole lot of, you know, it's not that it's snug, but that it's, you're just seeing this going in and out and not a whole lot of your areola going in there, because that's usually a sign that it's too big.
It's really interesting because we were always, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jen.
If something changes, so say for instance, if like a parent gets like a clogged nipple pore or a bleb, there's inflammation in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They might need to temporarily, if they're pumping during that time, go up to a larger size because it needs a little bit more room instead of like getting squeezed. And then like once everything's cleared up, they can go back to the flange that they're using before because it's painful. So like the inflammation and just, you know how when there's a bleb in there that like the parent can feel like it hurt, and the nipple itself like ends up being like really sore and just hard. It needs a little bit more space. So
I wonder if that's a good opportunity to try maybe one of the inserts if it's just short term. I don't know. I often would tell parents like prenatally, you can get inserts pretty reasonably priced, you know, $13, $15, $17, $19. And they're like $10. And sometimes I'll say to people, like, they're concerned, like, what if my baby needs to go in the NICU? What if I'm like, well, if you get them and you feel like you need to use them before you're able to come in and do a pump flange fitting, you have them. If you don't and they're not open, you can return them. It's kind of a fairly inexpensive way to just, because if you do find yourself in the hospital and you're a 13 millimeter and you have to start pumping, it's a great option to just kind of temporarily put that in there, get a little bit better of a fit. So maybe you can get milk out until you're able to come in. It's just an option, but I'm saying, I wonder if that's an option, Jen, too. Like if you're in the middle of this, do I have to go by 18 millimeter flanges? Or if you had these, you know, inserts, could you pop a larger insert in and see if that feels better for $10 or whatever they cost on Amazon? They're pretty reasonably priced.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like if you're already using an insert.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. Like if you're using an 18 millimeter and or 16 and you're like, oh man, it hurts. Could you pop out your 24 millimeters, pop in an 18 insert and just pump with that while you're having this, you know, nipple pore, clogged nipple pore or plug duct or something that you're just uncomfortable with?
And that's like if people keep those darn 24 millimeter ones that came with the pump. We're trying to figure out what kind of like Christmas ornaments we can make with all of this. Something. Earrings. Something. Yeah. We have so many.
A pump flange wreath.
We should make one of those for the office, Jen.
There you go.
That's a really cute idea. But maybe we could put like some smaller ones on the inside.
Don't use the small ones.
24s. Our 24s. Then we'll do our 27s. Then we'll do our 30s. Okay. Yeah. I did inventory this year and I think there was like 3 or 4 36s. Like there shouldn't, then that's been that way for years now.
Well, I remember a friend and colleague, actually, I think she was a board member for a while, too. She was a pediatrician, and she was using 36s. And listen, I saw her nipples. There was no way. And she insisted. And she's like, oh, I've always had to pump for 45 minutes. I'm like, no, that's insane. She would have definitely been like a 17 or 15. And
I go back to, we have a client that we've all seen in this. She just had her fifth baby and she was at support group. And I just kind of mentioned in passing, like, hey, did you do a pump flange fitting? No, I'm a 24. I was with my other 4 kids and she's was always able to get milk out. And da, da, da. I'm like, just listen for fun. Just do it. And what was she, Jen? 14?
14. Like, yeah, something in that area.
And she was like, no way. We're like, yes, why? I mean, her oldest is a senior in high school. So it's been a really long time since she had her first baby. But that just always worked for her. And so she was one of the lucky ones that was able to get enough milk when she pumped with the 24. Yeah, I mean, I got milk out of it before.
Yeah, it must be the type of breast tissue you have or something that allowed people to get milk with those. Yeah. But this is what I was wondering and why I'm a little annoyed is we just started this research and thankfully she did this research, but I think it was a hunch on her side that she ran with and then started seeing that it was working and decided to do the research. Is there research on 24 and 27 and from years and years ago? Or did somebody just make this ish up?
Well, the rumor is that the average size of a cow udder is 24. That is the rumor. That's what I've read online and I've seen online. And then someone recently had a post was like, I saw a cow udder and I don't think it's a 24. I actually think it's smaller. But I would think that's where, I mean, like, where do you start? And the other theory I heard was a lot of, like, flanges, like this plastic flanges, like the actual manufacturing is happening in Asian countries and Taiwan. And we all know as lactation consultants, women of Asian descent do have larger nipples. And so is that where the standard started was, where if that's what they're looking at as standard, when you have a population where their nipples are larger. And this isn't just, my sister-in-law does mammograms. And I asked her one day, I'm like, have you noticed? And she's like, yes. So it's not just us. It's not just lactation consultants. I don't know if it's true or if it's anecdotal on my part, but I'm just saying.
It's true.
But that's what that was the other, I know it's true, right? That's what the other, I've seen online, the other thought process was, is that these are being made in Asian countries and possibly that's the standard.
I know. I think it's the cow thing because... Uh-huh. When that's how we learned how to take care of mastitis. Mm-hmm. Because when I started in this field, all right, aging myself, but like the computers, home computers were a new thing. And Google was a new thing. And I put in lactation. I'm very excited to research. It was all cow stuff, all about the bovine and all this research on cows. And I'm like, oh, human lactation. And then there was like three articles. So yeah. I bet. Mm-hmm. But how did it take, that was 25 years ago. How did it take 25 years where we're finally figuring out how to get milk out with a breast pump? It's just because nobody cared.
Why are these pump companies still sending their pumps with a 24 or 28 millimeter flange is my question. Yeah.
Because Jen, their goal is making money, not helping people.
The interesting thing is that they're not like, again, look at, say, and I'm not picking on Medela and I'm not picking on, like, Spectra makes the smallest, they make what, a 16 and then a 20. What if you're an 18? This is where like this Maymom company has totally just, they're brilliant. And the story behind them, it was like two dads whose like partners were pumping. It was the wrong side. And they just had this thought and they had manufacturing people and they just went with it. And I guess, is it just easier for the Spectres and the Medelas of the world to just say, let them buy their flanges over there or buy their flanges somewhere else. But I know I've seen, and Jen, you would know more specifically, with some of the hands-free pumps, they are sending inserts.
They are.
Which is great, because with them, you have to use an insert with a hands-free pump. But they are at least sending an option of, like, trying something smaller, where the pump companies now, I mean, but still, to this day, Spectra is sending a 24 and a 28.
They are. Still in them, yes.
Yeah, but the size is in the hospital. Medela's at the hospital size. They now do a 21 and a 24.
I was going to say, I think Medela changed theirs to a smaller. Yeah. But it's still too big. If they're looking, I think Jeanette and her research has shown the average being like 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there. So that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah, I and so you mentioned another, up. Hold on, Louisa, you mentioned Maymom. People might need to know what that is.
So that is a company that you can buy their flanges on Amazon.
Yeah. So, and they have a wider variety of sizes.
They have, I think they started in eight.
Eight or nine up through.
And they're the ones that make the conical ones, like they're the regular size. They make this pano flange, which is that, 105 degree angle with like a little pink
rim around it.
Silicone rim. They sell a crater, which looks almost like a bowl for a more rounded, softer breast.
The one that they call a comfort. So it's the same as the conical one. It just has the silicone edge around that as well too. And they have the saucer. I don't know. I don't think we've ever like looked into that as far as the Maymom brand goes, as far as that comfort one.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's very similar to what Medela has gone to. Medela started doing. They started that with that little. It's the same classic flange, but with the silicone around it. I don't know if that just gets a. Their thought is it gets a tighter fit, and more. I don't know exactly why. I think with the pano flange, I think it's the wider, bigger, and that angle that makes it fit the breast a little bit better, more so than that pink little flangey thing. I don't know what it's for.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be more comfortable. And they also made theirs more oblong. Like theirs is not a circle.
Yeah. It's
more of an oval. And I remember doing a webinar that some people like it, you know, going horizontally, and some people like it vertically. I'm like, okay,
whatever. Yeah.
The Medela 21 millimeter flange, though, the actual tunnel portion, when, like, why did that space get so much smaller?
Yeah, I don't know. Like you said, 21 millimeters is 21 millimeters, but it doesn't. They all.
It's like the 24 millimeter, like, space from, like, the tunnel to, like, the back of the pump was longer.
Oh, but yeah, like, really short.
21 millimeter one was so short.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did, but, like, that's the other thing, too. So, like, we could go into elastic nipples and the length of everything.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense because it wouldn't impact anything to have it longer. So then if they do have elastic nipples, they're smashing into the back of it.
Yeah. And the pano one seemed to be longer, or is that just my imagination? That tunnel? Maybe not. I don't know.
We'll have to look.
I guess sometimes it looks longer when it's a really small opening. It just seems that much longer. I don't know.
So bottom line, to wrap things up, there's a variety of breast sizes and shapes. There's a variety of nipples, both shapes and sizes. And you need the breast shield to connect to your plump to your pump. Some people call them flanges, and some people call them phalanges.
Phalanges.
But you need the right fitting one in order for it to work. So make sure you really look into it.
Yeah. And everyone needs to do it. Like at some point, if you're doing any little bit of pumping.
Worth it.
It's worth especially it. If you're going back to work and you're going to be long-term pumping, you know, it's important to have a good fit.
Awesome. Well, there's the skinny on breast shield sizes. For Louisa Brandenburger and Jennifer Sheevy, I'm Colette Acker, and this is The Feeding Frenzy. The Feeding Frenzy has been brought to you by the Breastfeeding Resource Center.